Welcome to the Passive House podcast, brought to you by Passive House Accelerator, a catalyst for zero carbon building. For news, stories, and connections from all flavors of Passive House, check out the articles, videos, and more at passivehouseaccelerator.com. Sign up to receive regular updates about events, get your technical questions answered and contribute to the community forum, and of course, attend the weekly online global Passive House happy hour. Well, welcome to this special edition of the Passive House podcast. I'm Matthew Cutler-Welsh, coming to you from Auckland in New Zealand.
And I'm Zach Sempke in Seattle.
And it's exciting to have this special edition, Zach. I learned a lot listening to this interview, which we'll get into. But tell us a bit about why this is special and what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is our first Passive House Component podcast episode. So it's special in that regard. And it was exciting to be able to sit down with Glavel. Glavel is a founding sponsor of Passive House Accelerator. And it's a very, as you'll hear in the interview, Glavel is a very mission-driven company and really aligned with what the Accelerator is about. So it was really fun to talk with Rob. Rob is taking recycled glass and turning it into foam glass gravel. So it has insulative properties. It can replace gravel in the foundation. It's a really interesting product. He's also moving toward basically near zero embodied carbon in the manufacturing of this product. They're opening a new factory in the United States. They're working towards social equity and inclusion and diversity. It's a real kind of righteous endeavor and a really affordable and exciting product. So we dive into all that in the interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
Cool. Let's get into it.
Okay. Rob, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. This is the first Passive House Component podcast episode that the Passive House Accelerator has done.
And very cool.
It's very appropriate to have you as the first guest. Because you have been one of the first supporters. You underwrote our coverage of the Passive House Canada conference back in 2019. Glavel, your company, is a founding sponsor of the Passive House Accelerator. So I'm super excited to have some time to talk with you.
And, you know, again, sort of mutual appreciation society. You know, we've been such a big fan of the Passive House Accelerator from the get-go. We knew that the work that you were going to do was just so important that it was something we just had to be a part of and are excited to be a part of. So we're honored to be the first in the component podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. Super, super exciting product. I want to start with a little bit about, you know, your journey, your motivation. I mean, lots of folks know you in North America and your role at Glavel. And I think a few of us know the story about how you got to where you are and why you're doing the work you're doing.
Some people in the Passive House community might recall that prior to Glavel, I was doing a company called Better that was essentially a financial services entity. But we also did Passive House training as well here in Vermont. So I was very steeped in the Passive House community, and it was a really challenging service offering. You know, we were trying to matchmake folks for financing for projects, and born out of that frustration, in 2016, I launched a platform to try to help bend the cost curve for delivering high performance buildings and Passive House buildings. The thought being, let's bring over technologies from Europe and manufacture them here in the US. So created a platform for that. And at the Passive House Conference in Darmstadt in 2016, launched that platform. And got some interesting, you know, products that sort of were born out of that. But the one that really bubbled to the surface was one that Floris from 475 brought up was, he'd always wanted to have foam glass manufactured here in the US. I'm like, what the hell is foam glass? You know, I had vague recollections of sitting in Tomas O'Leary's Passive House Academy courses where he would talk about, you know, foam glass blocks, kind of the Owens Corning blocks, and how if you want extra points from, you know, the on the exam use that as a thermal bridge, was sort of my vague understanding of what foam glass might be. So once I really delved into researching the product, I just got incredibly excited about bringing a product that touched so many points for me personally. I've always wanted to get back into manufacturing, taking a product that's made from recycled material and upcycling it into something that has a high value was, you know, struck a chord with me. And, you know, on that journey, which has been really long. So I know a lot of Passive House folks are, God, Rob's been talking about this forever. It's taken a really long time. Again, so Passive House International Conference, fast forward to, I guess it was probably 2018 in Munich, and coming off a positive meeting with a potential partner in Europe for foam glass and having a beer with Michael Lingui and sharing all this energy and excitement. And Michael, in his sort of way, goes, well, you know, Rob, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I kind of now realize that I didn't think I was at mile two. I thought I was at, you know, mile 16, maybe. So yeah, it's taken a really long time for us to get where we are today, but it's incredibly exciting to know that our plant will be operational later this year. And you know, the first step of us producing foam glass glavel is going to be realized in 2020.
Awesome. So let's take a step back real quick for listeners who may not be familiar with foam glass gravel. I mean, I think you're alluding a little bit to the process for how it's made, but what is it? What products are made from it? And fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. So foam glass gravel is an incredibly lightweight aggregate that essentially takes the place of, you know, traditional sub slab insulation would be a layer of 3/8 stone for drainage, and then some kind of foam board for your R value below the slab. And the beauty of foam glass gravel is that it does both of those functions. So you're eliminating a product essentially. And as we know, you know, from an embodied carbon perspective, from a you know, the fact that it's petroleum based and there's nasty chemicals associated with that foam board, having a product that is naturally flame retardant, doesn't need to have all those nasty chemicals, is, you know, an amazing transcendence from what's currently being done. And the way that foam glass is able to deliver on all of those things, from a compressive strength that's greater than or right around 118 per square foot, or I'm sorry, per square inch, is because it's made from glass. And so foam glass starts with recycled glass bits that then get, you know, ground into a fine powder. That fine powder gets mixed with a foaming agent. In our case, we'll be using glycerin to create bubbles that, it's not really a slurry, but that powder then gets run through a 25-meter long kiln at high temperatures, and the product foams up about four times. And those bubbles are what provide the R value, and the amazing compressive strength comes from the properties of glass. And that will be rolling off our plant here in Vermont later this year.
Wow. And what's the R value of the product?
Yeah, so R values do have a spectrum, both in Europe and here. You know, the product has been on the market in Europe for over 25 years, so they're a little bit ahead of us. And, you know, there are products that are specifically geared towards infrastructure. About half the sales in Europe go into the infrastructure market, and half go into kind of high performance or green building. The infrastructure product is usually around, it's a denser product and usually around R1.3 per inch. The product that we're currently importing is R1.7 per inch. And that's the formulation that we're going to be mimicking when we have our own production later this year. So R1.7 per inch.
Fantastic. So say I'm an architect and I'm working on a Passive House project. I hear about glavel. How do I proceed? Maybe I already have more conventional subslab insulation that I've specified in my drawings. How do I work with you?
Yeah. So what we typically do is the inbound request is, okay, I have a detail that has exactly sort of spec'd in the classic kind of gravel for drainage and then the foam board. How do you substitute that? So we walk through with the architect and or engineer or developer or customer, what are their goals? So is it a R value target that they're trying to achieve? What are they trying to do with that subslab insulation? And it's a fairly quick process for us to walk them through how to order our product and how to translate those things and substitute foam, glass, gravel for those two products. We hear anecdotally that there's a huge benefit from a project management standpoint, especially on larger projects or large green roof projects, to not have either two trades or having those two products. So having a product that your excavator can install with typical equipment the excavator would have is a huge benefit from a time saving, as well as sort of the cost of installing foam glass versus the traditional method.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a theme that has been coming up a lot in our conversations on the podcast and just in general at the Accelerator, is this notion that when we can figure out ways to align practice with what is familiar and make improvements and in those approaches, you know, that's where we can unlock big transformations, both in terms of meaningful advances in energy performance, but also in transformation of practice.
Absolutely. I think it is emblematic of kind of the journey of passive house acceptance here in the U.S. of, you know, 8 years ago, it was seen as kind of fringe and difficult building science-y. And now we're at the point through, you know, the Passive House Accelerator, you know, dispelling a lot of that mythology and that it really isn't that different. And I think, foam glass is an example of that as well, that there might be some hesitation or fear that it's, you know, foreign or different. But then once they, you know, use it, it's very easy and becomes very familiar very quickly.
Yeah. You're generous to say that the accelerator may be playing some role, but it's because of work by Glavel and other manufacturers, as well as practitioners, you know, who have,
exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that approach and it's exciting to see the progress that we're making thanks to that sense of that smarts around alignment.
Exactly. And we actually just found an amazing video that one of our customers made out in California in San Luis Obispo, installing the product. And I swear to God, we did not pay them to do this. And we were watching it yesterday because we just sort of randomly found it in YouTube because they hadn't told us they made it. Like, holy cow. They like hit all the points. They show the product being installed. So that video will be on our website and we can put a link on that here. So you don't have to take our word for it. You know, here's an architect and a builder talking about how wonderful it was to use Glavel instead of foam board. So it's pretty cool to have a third party verify these kind of claims.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll include that in the show notes for sure. That's great.
Yeah.
So what's new for Glavel? I think you touched on stuff a little bit. Tell us what's hot right now for you guys.
So there's been a lot of evolution in terms of what we thought Glavel was going to be at the beginning and kind of where we are today. All very positive. When we started Glavel, we thought it was going to follow the trajectory of a lot of the plants in North America as well as in Europe that are gas-fired production of foam glass gravel. And you're at the Passive House Conference in Canada in 2019, we announced our commitment to electrify our process and to use 100% renewable energy as a goal for our product. So many reasons for that. I always blame Greta. It was one of the things that we can't put off all of these things we need to do today. There is no more putting off the things that will help in terms of the carbon problem that we have. And there's just so many other benefits of, at the time we hadn't realized where the awareness of low embodied carbon was and where it was going to go very quickly. But thanks to folks at Skanska and Microsoft and their EC3 platform, where now you can see what the embodied carbon is in your building materials. We're just really excited to be part of that next movement that is taking hold very, very rapidly because of large players like Microsoft and Skanska pulling that all together and making that available. And folks like, you know, Chris Magwood and the folks at New Frameworks here in Vermont really explaining in simple terms the embodied carbon equation and how very simple changes in the materials that we choose can have a dramatic impact on the embodied carbon in the buildings that we build. And the AIA has recognized that this is an issue and called out and called on architects to really consider the embodied carbon in the materials they use, as well as the energy that those buildings need to heat and cool. So really excited to be part of that.
Interrupt a moment there. I just want to point out that so you're kind of encapsulating what we at the Accelerator, and I think not just Accelerator, I mean the movement, the zero, the building decarbonization movement is recognizing as the kind of the definition of the goal of what does it mean to do, to if we can do buildings as climate action, what does that mean? How do we get there?
And
exactly. So for us, we say it's passive house plus low embodied carbon plus renewable energy for everything and electrify everything. And you started with that journey with this energy efficiency piece around the product and this insulative properties of
exactly.
Foam, glass, gravel, which is kind of mind blowing. But and now you're moving into those other pieces. And it's smart. It makes a lot of business sense, I think. And it's also what we all need to be doing. So
And I think it speaks to the ethos of what Glavel is. You know, we're not an aggregate company. We really are a solutions company. We want to be offering products that help our customers, you know, bend that curve around their embodied carbon is critically important. So, So when we interact with our customers, it's not just about how do we sell you more Glavel. It's, you know, what is the whole objective, what you're trying to achieve with your project. And it sort of speaks to, you know, the partners that we have in Europe supporting what we're doing, are incredibly innovative. You know, we could have hired a German consultant to come and set up a gas-fired production here in Vermont, but we chose a very different path, which included our partner Glypor, that in addition to making foam glass gravel, also has a board version of foam glass available that we currently have available and will import. But once our facility is up and running, we'll have the lead time on that will be much shorter, and we'll be able to deliver a board version of foam glass as well to go along with the gravel.
Very cool. So what else can you tell us about the facility? I know that some of it's under wraps, but what...
You know, it's Vermont. So in a weird way, it's kind of this bucolic industrial park. So it's surrounded by a lot of trees. We have an amazing developer partner who understands our vision and what we want to do. He also happens to own an electric service company. So he's an electrician. So that's obviously when you're trying to electrify foam glass gravel production, having an electrician on the team who's been doing it for decades is a good thing. So yeah, we're very excited about the facility and the promise that it holds. And yeah, things are going really, really well on that front.
That's exciting. I know people are eager. So you mentioned this commitment to low embodied carbon. I know that there's also some deep commitments around equity, inclusion, diversity, equality. That like those are core values for, I know, for you and for Glavel. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. Again, you know, we feel fortunate that you know, we're taking a product that has a long history and is incredibly proven and stable in Europe. And I saw that as an opportunity of, you know, what else can we layer into who and what we want to be? And from the get-go, we were committed to this connection between an environmental shift to solve our carbon problem that really will only be achieved if we recognize that there's a social justice issue as well. So we have embedded that in terms of who and what we are, with a commitment around, first and foremost, helping to break the cycle of incarceration. This is something that I was first made aware of back in California, in the Bay Area, you know, in the 90s. My first job out of college, we would hire whenever possible Delancey Street Movers and the Delancey Street Cafe, who were at the forefront of breaking the cycle of incarceration. So I always knew that if I had an opportunity to start a manufacturing operation, that I would embed those principles into what we're doing. And we're fortunate to have a group here in Vermont called Working Fields that does exactly that. So working with formerly incarcerated addicted individuals to, you know, support them in a life transition, quite frankly. So that's important to what we're doing, but it does go beyond just that. That was really kind of the starting point. What we realized is that other populations that we want to help serve include a firm here, or a nonprofit called Vermont Works for Women. So very similar kind of support system as Working Fields, but if a woman is coming out of an abusive relationship and having to, in a very short period of time, make career choices, if she now has to become a breadwinner, they give women the confidence and the skill sets to make those kinds of transitions. So we're excited to be working with Vermont Works for Women to place folks in our organization. And then also similarly taking that to new Americans. So we have an amazing governor who's committed to taking more refugees here in Vermont, and working with the organizations that place new Americans. And then I would say lastly, in terms of the diversity, equity, and now inclusion, working with organizations like Outright Vermont, we want to also be a vehicle where their members who might be in any form of transition, that it's a supportive, safe place to work. So that those are our big, ambitious goals around diversity, inclusion, and equity. And I've been asked to be on a couple of different panels around that, especially with different startup incubators. And I'm just, you know, preaching that don't put this off. You know, if we really honestly want to achieve our environmental goals, we cannot put off, you know, a commitment around social justice. It just has to happen, has to be a part of what we do.
Yeah. Well, and what you're describing is clearly goes beyond contributions to worthy organizations, but really partnerships with organizations to around your hiring practices and transforming the organization, which is the real work. So
yeah so it's all exciting stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's this amazing kind of, you know, it starts with this wonderful story about, you know, recycled glass that has little or no value and turning it into this incredible product, but then, you know, we just kept on piling on how could we make it better? How can we have even greater impact? And we just kept piling on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I imagine you can attract some really interesting and talented folks to the company thanks to those kinds of really authentic commitments. So well done.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's coming? What's coming down the pike? Where is Glavel in 5 years?
Well, I alluded to the board product. We love foam glass. Obviously, it's an amazing product. But I sort of refer to this as peanut butter and jelly. You know, it's not one or the other. It's really both. And we did launch the board product last October, but. We launched it in the form of a system for the foundation where you can eliminate a lot of concrete. And we realized that might have been a little too ambitious, bringing in the boards in more dimensional form makes a little bit more sense instead of somebody having to completely eliminate their frost wall and what they're comfortable with. Still do your frost wall, but instead of outside and on grade bearing foam board, why don't you buy some of this product that you can use on the outside of the foundation wall. And then you've got your glavel here underneath the slab, if you can envision a detail, which I'm sure a lot of other people can. So this is the big thing that we've got space allocated in the factory to bring in dimensional boards and work with folks to eliminate foam board on the outside of their details using the board product.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, and will all of that be produced in Vermont in 5 years, or what are your plans around that?
Yeah, we'll be importing the boards for a while. Mm-hmm. It's a proprietary process that our partner Glypor in Europe has.
Right.
So that'll, just take a while. And we're fairly conservative in terms of the way that we roll things out. But we do have plans in the works for multiple plants. You know, we want to get out west fairly quickly. We know there's a lot of folks in the Seattle and Vancouver area that have expressed interest. I think our second install was out in Seattle. So yeah, we want to get out west as quickly as possible.
That'll make a lot of us out here very happy, I think.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been fantastic. Is there anything else that we missed or that you want to share before we close up?
Yeah, no, I would just say that we are in the process of essentially pre-selling our output for lots of reasons in terms of some supply chain issues with rigid foam board that are out there. There's an amazing amount of demand for foam glass gravel right now. So we want to make sure that we can line up folks, with our output that's coming in November, December. So if you have projects that you would like to have foam glass integrated into, contact us and we can start that process. We're basically doing, commitments now, and then there'll be a process as we get the production online for you to, further commit to that output. But just kind of gauging, where folks are at and what the demand looks like for the foam glass once we start producing, but it's significant. So if you have a project and you want foam glass to be a part of it, contact us and we can get that process started for you.
Fantastic. Rob Comboy, CEO of Glavel, Foam Glass Gravel. Thanks so much for this conversation. It's been really wonderful.
No, thank you. And I can't wait to see all the Passive House folks soon enough. Get back to the new normal.
All right. So that was Rob Comboy of Glavel, Foam Glass Gravel. What did you think, Matthew? What are your observations?
Sometimes with these interviews, I'm kind of thinking, I'm waiting for the, that's great, but what about this? And they're like, he just kept on bringing all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything they're not doing well, or at least setting out to do well. It's such a great story about how you can have an innovative product that's going to be really useful and help buildings perform, but do it with the aim, and they're achieving that aim of producing it in a zero carbon way, and also looking at that social side of being a responsible employer. It's just such a great model, and I think an inspiring idea for future manufacturing and across the whole building sector. It's pretty exciting stuff.
It really is. I don't want to like gush too much about this, that I think it's important to remember as we, as we move toward this transition toward high performance buildings, passive house, and essentially decarbonizing the built environment. This requires innovation and to do it in a socially just way, to have this be a just transition. It's going to require innovations by practitioners, of course, and policymakers, marketers, all sorts of people in the industry, and absolutely crucially manufacturers. We need products to make this happen, and to make it happen affordably, to make it happen without needing to transport materials long distances and make it happen with low embodied carbon. So it's the courageous moves essentially of companies like Glavel that will make or break this effort, this kind of societal and industry-wide effort. So I am really inspired by the work that Rob is doing and that his team is doing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, that idea that you can take something that's essentially seen as the waste product now and turn it into something very useful in a pretty benign way, but that has a fantastic use for not just replacing gravel on a building site and providing the structural requirements of that, but also displacing some of the other products that you might put in for improving the insulation. So for me, I think, just to put it in context, the main use of this is setting up the foundation, or before you put the foundations or a basement in, it's preparing the ground for the rest of the building. Is that the main use of Glavel?
Yeah, exactly. And in a passive house context, right? It's also used in infrastructure as well. But certainly for our purposes, yes. And then the board product is used for foundation walls as well. So as you say, it's a great replacement for other materials that have a higher impact on global warming, right? Negative impact.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that stands out for me is something that I can relate to, is that a lot of the products that make all the difference end up being invisible in the completed building.
Right.
And they may not appear to be the most exciting thing. If the average person drives past a building site, you might just sort of not even glance at a pile of gravel.
But exactly.
It's hearing the story behind that material and what it's contributing to the building, but also all the people that are involved in the production of that, and the fact that it's diverting a waste stream. You start to realize that whatever component, whatever part you play in the design or the building or the creation, the finishing of a building, you can create a great story about that, and you can have a really positive influence not just on the building, but all the people that are involved in that process. So I reckon that's kind of cool, that you can get excited about something that at first might not seem very exciting.
Right. You know, Passive House is like that too. In some ways, it's not flashy. You can't see it. I mean, the trained eye can recognize that, what is probably a passive house. We have some lessons to learn from Glavel and his team around that storytelling. Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up the social side, in the interview, because I think that's really inspiring as well, that, as part of, we're still a relatively new industry, but when you're creating a completely new product, you're setting up a new business, it's such a great opportunity to think about what do we want to create as a culture? How do we want to be as a company? What do we stand for? Who do we want to include? Or, making a really conscious effort to be completely inclusive of and supportive of all types of people. That's really cool. It kind of makes you want to go out and start a business. I know that there are lots of challenges and just the all the necessary stuff that you need to do behind the scenes in order to get funding, get plan, yeah. do hiring yeah. and stuff.
But I think Robert's been working hard.
Just thinking about how you do that in this brave new world, I think it's very cool to hear a bit of that backstory to the company culture as well.
Yeah. And it's not window dressing. It's like, it's the hiring process.
No, they seem very serious about
it. Yeah, exactly. It's really about the structure and the people that make up the company. So it's real.
Very cool. So this was our first deep dive into a component or a building product that is useful for Passive House. Obviously, starting from the ground up, there's right. a lot more that we can cover in this type of format. So I'd be really interested to hear from you out there about other products that you'd like to hear about. But we've also got our other founding sponsors as well, and hopefully that we can bring something similar to you to do one of these product reviews as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the next one for sure. And thanks to Glavel for kicking this off.
Definitely. Thanks to Glavel. And, of course, for being a founding sponsor and big supporter of the Passive House Accelerator just in general as well. It's great to have people like that getting the word out.
Indeed.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back with the regular schedule as well this week, Zach.
We will indeed. Yeah. Well, we'll see each other tomorrow to talk about that interview.
Yep. Excellent. All right. Well, we'll talk then.